Little sip. Well, as you know by now, this morning we're going to have a baptism at the very end of our service. Seth and Jonah Woodford are going to come and follow the Lord's command to be baptized. And this morning they want to let everyone publicly know that they have chose to be followers of Christ. And they literally follow after Jesus' example in his baptism. And so it's a very, very special. Baptism is not something that we do because our parents tell us we have to do it. It's not something that the church tells us to do. We do it because it's meaningful to our relationship with the Lord. Also, it's commanded, so that helps if we do the things that God tells us to do. Last week, if you were here, we clearly said it has nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is something that comes only by faith in Christ when we place our faith in Him. Our salvation is something that is not connected to anything except your decision to turn to Him. So does that mean that baptism isn't important? Not at all. It is very, very important. For believers, the act of baptism is a beautiful expression of faith, of understanding of our future resurrection, and the obedience that we choose to follow, and all the benefits. There's many, many benefits. So we're going to do three things with our service the rest of our time together. I want to talk about six benefits of baptism. Many times somebody's baptized, they're dipped, they come out, and they're great, they did it. What are the benefits that come with that? Also, we have four people we're going to come up. We're going to talk to them about the choice they made when they were baptized in the past and what they've experienced since that time in their walk with the Lord. And then finally, we're going to baptize Seth and Jonah, and they're going to share their testimony, and we get to be a part of that. So that's what we're going to do. If you'd like to take notes, here's the very first benefit. Baptism honors Christ through obedience. It honors Christ. When you choose to follow after Christ, it honors Him. Listen to Matthew 3, starting verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. He says, okay, Jesus, I'll do it. John was baptizing people for repentance. They came to him and they were admitting their need to be forgiven. Yet he recognizes very clearly that Jesus had no reason to repent. There's nothing that he did that was ever sinful. And so as he tries to stop Jesus from being baptized, Jesus says to him, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, I did a bunch of reading. I read some easier translations on this, but here's one of the commentaries. This is what they wrote. Jesus, the perfect man, didn't need baptism for sin, but he accepted baptism in obedient service to the Father, and God showed his approval. Jesus wanted to show that his mission was to take on the sin of humanity and thus to absolve it. Jesus took the baptism seriously, not merely as an object lesson for observers. He acknowledged God's holiness, humanity's sin, and said, I will take it and I will clear it. And that's really the essence of good news, isn't it? And later, after his death and his resurrection, Jesus meets with his disciples and he says these very, very famous words that we know and we've used many times here in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And since that time in history, Christians have honored Christ in obedience through baptism. The very first command is that new believers will be baptized. And so when we do that, we honor Christ. And I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful thing that we can do that. Secondly, baptism strengthens your faith. Baptism strengthens your faith. Baptism and faith go together. You can't separate them. Because without faith, baptism is really just another way to get wet. You could do that in the shower. Or you could just hear. But without faith, you literally are just getting wet. And when we choose baptism because of our belief in Christ's death and His resurrection, it strengthens what we have said we believe because we're putting it into action. And it makes it more tangible and it makes it more real. And it's a way for us believers to understand the picture of Jesus' death and His resurrection in a very meaningful way. When our sins are symbolically, no sins will be left in this tank when we get done. But it's symbolically our sins are washed away and we move from death to life. And the verses that are so a good picture of this is Romans chapter 6. It says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism," the very picture of laying somebody down into the water, into death, "in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Both, like last week we looked at, both baptism and communion are ways for us to unite through Christ, his suffering and his resurrection. And so they help us to remember and they help us to reflect and understand what he did for us. And it strengthens why we believe what we believe. Thirdly, baptism celebrates your commitment to follow Jesus. There's lots of things that we can celebrate in life. Baptism is one of them. And when we're baptized, we purposely declare our commitment to follow Jesus. And if we come to faith in Christ, I don't know about you, but we should be rejoicing and we should be celebrating a person's commitment to do that. We have a great example in Scripture where it wasn't just people, it's also angels. Anytime someone came to faith, it says the angels, my translation, partied hardy. They had a celebration. Luke 15, verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Luke 15, 10, "In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." We should be rejoicing. We do that when we get promoted. We do that when we get married. We rejoice when the sermons are shorter. You get the idea with that, right? Why should we not rejoice even more when it comes to somebody's salvation? And when you share your faith by coming before people, it gives us all an opportunity to celebrate. So I'm very grateful that we get to do that today with the Woodfords. Baptism, another thing, encourages accountability, something we all love to have, right? Since baptism is a public declaration of our desire to follow Christ, I believe we should expect anybody who sees us doing that be able to come up to us and say, "I saw your commitment to Christ, and I see something here. I want to encourage you to continue to be more like you're supposed to be, or maybe I see an area that I want to encourage you to be maybe a little better in." You stand up front, and baptism encourages accountability in your life. I love Proverbs 27:17. "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And that's just a great picture when we allow people to come into our lives. And see, when we're baptized, we're letting the world know who we belong to and what we stand for and what we believe. I think then we also tell the world what we do not stand for, and we give those who are close to us the privilege to tell us when we veered off course. James says it very well. James 5, starting at verse 19. "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." So I encourage you to speak into my life, and I will certainly speak into your life. Two more benefits we'll take a look at. Baptism symbolically starts a brand new life. Symbolically starts a brand new life. When you're raised up out of the water, the picture is if all your sins have been washed away and you are starting clean. You are brand new. You are, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, a new creation or a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." How much newer can you be than to have your sins washed and taken away from you? Ananias was the man who spoke to Saul before he was known as Paul. And this is what was said in Acts 22:16. "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And baptism is a beautiful picture of an inner working that God does in our hearts to take away our sin and how it causes us to be in union with God. One last benefit. I'm sure there's plenty more. Baptism helps you to share your faith. It helps you to share your faith. And we know, again, the Great Commission, we're to go as you're going along in life, whatever it is that you're doing. We're to make disciples, and we're to baptize. The only way you make a disciple is by letting them know what you know about Jesus and the changes that he's made in your life. And when you tell people that, and this is a public way of doing it, most people get very nervous because they have to stand up front and talk about their faith. All you're doing is talking to friends, maybe a lot of them, and you're telling your story of what Jesus did for you. And when you do that, you share your faith. Many times people invite folks to come because they want to let people hear of the change that Jesus has done in their life. Baptism allows us, gives us that privilege. It's an important step in a believer's life. Lots of benefits to doing it. So if you've never been baptized, I encourage you, and you're just sitting there because a little bit of a fear, take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. All right, that's the first part. Second part, Heberts and Vickery's, would you come up? We're going to let them, would you welcome them? Give them a pompy welcome this morning. All of these folks have been baptized, and I just thought, I had four questions that I sent them. Why did you get baptized? Was that a difficult decision? Why or why not? How would you describe your experience, and then how did it change you? How did it change you? And so because it's not then just an event, but there's something that took place. So I think this one could be, the microphone's already been handed off. Mike, starting with you. So why did you, maybe each of you can answer this rather quickly, but why did you get baptized?
So we started coming to PPC in January of 2015, and we enjoyed being at PPC, and I think our baptism date was July 17, 2016, so I'm almost 3 years old.
Wow.
But it was something that Michelle and I wanted to do together, and it was a very rewarding experience, and I think it's brought us closer to God.
Yeah. Awesome. Anybody here?
Sure.
Oh, you've got the mic.
Yeah. It was an opportunity to be like Jesus. He was baptized. He was our example. It was just an opportunity to show the whole world that I had a new faith.
When did you get baptized?
I was actually at the ripe age of 10.
10.
Yep. I was saved at 8 years of age and just brought up in the church, and it was just the right thing to do. It was an opportunity to say, hey, I've got Jesus.
Yeah.
You guys want to have this too.
Cool. Michelle, or?
We came to the church in a tragic kind of way, and we're welcomed, and we're so thankful that God was in our life, and we didn't think we were going to be able to handle a situation that was handed to us, and we took one day at a time, and we're here today, and we've used that just to be so thankful that he's led us to believe that no matter what, we can get through it with his help and guidance, and good, bad comes good, and there's always a reason.
Cool. So. All right.
And I was brought up in the United Methodist Church in Fabius, and I was baptized when I was a baby. My parents were very faithful servants, and I learned a lot about the Lord from my parents and going to church there. Unfortunately, it's a positive and a negative, that our church unfortunately closed, but we were fortunate enough to start coming to the Pompey United Church quite a few years ago when it was up on Academy Street. And, you know, I was coming and going with my parents and not really coming every week. But, you know, I was pretty busy. I was going back for my doctorate and trying to work full time. And it was really crazy time for me. So in 2014, Dennis and I went to a Michael W. Smith concert. And I highly recommend, encourage anybody who has not gone to a Christian concert to go. But from there, you know, things just changed for me personally. I used to listen to 93Q and all that. Changed it completely over to all Christian music. And, you know, listening to that, it really sends a story, you know, of Jesus and just how to walk your life. And so from there, I just started getting more involved at PCC. I thank Mike for allowing me to be on the worship team. And it's just been, you know, from there, Dennis and I just started really feeling the Lord and just more and coming more regularly and serving. And in July 17th, 2016, was when I really wanted to show publicly that I was a follower of Jesus and a believer.
So that was the primary. You wanted to be able to declare your faith before this congregation. So as you were thinking about being baptized, what made it difficult to do? What are some of the things that some you know that people are thinking, oh no, if I get baptized, I have to... What made it difficult, and how did you get over that?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is standing up in front of people and admitting you're a sinner. But once you've done that, there is a huge relief that just overwhelms you, and you really felt that you're born again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be redundant on the born again part, but there is definitely a very strong feeling that comes over you of, okay, I've been not perfect, right, but now I can go forward and live in God's word.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I'm sure you can tell by the red on my face, it's the public speaking part. but it was that thing I had to face, and I was excited to get through that, especially at a young age.
Yeah. You were afraid about your hair getting messed up too and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or not growing back.
Was it anything different?
It was very, very difficult for me because I was struggling still with our loss. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But again, I was so thankful that God was with me, and I felt mm-hmm. very strongly that I needed to express and show that He was with us mm-hmm. through that time, and mm-hmm. so thankful that He's been there through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't actually too scary because I got baptized by our pastor and a wonderful friend, so that made it a lot easier.
Yeah, cool. So, Michael, you had said something already, the sense of, you said release when you were baptized. There was an emotional sense. There was anything, I mean, for all of you, what the experience that it was for you when you did that?
Yes, I think before I always felt it was like a one-way street. I was always asking the Lord for something. And once being baptized, it became a two-way street where mm-hmm. I found myself asking the Lord what I could do for you. Mm-hmm. So it kind of opened up a whole new mm-hmm. world and view of what it is to be a Christian.
Awesome. That's great.
I agree.
Amen, she said to that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Much like he said, it's like when you come out of the water, it's like you burst through a new door. You've just said, hey, here I come. Use me any way you can. And he continues to do that even more now than even then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with everything. It's just based, pretty much you're more in tune and listening to him more and just knowing, you know, to have him lead us to what we need to do mm-hmm. to serve and be the hands and feet.
So you guys have lived perfectly since your baptism, right?
Of course.
Of course. Good.
Absolutely.
The reminder, though, is that we're not perfect, that what he did for us is continually applied to our life. Any major changes? You've already said your involvement. Is there any other changes that it has for you that you'd want to share with people?
The only thing I can say is quite a few years ago, you know, you kind of get a little shy when people ask you about Jesus and stuff. And, you know, I've had people, I wear my cross every day, and I've actually had people ask me if I follow Jesus or I'm a believer. And I'm not afraid to say I am a believer. And, you know, sometimes people will ask me a little bit, and otherwise that's the way it is. But I'm not afraid to publicly tell them that I am a believer.
Cool. Anything else?
Yeah, I don't think I shy away from admitting that I'm a Christian. And maybe I don't have the opportunities to draw people in like I would like to, but I'm sure I will. But I think it's helped us get through a lot. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. We have definitely seen healing mm-hmm. and results in prayer from everybody here, from ourselves. Our daughter's doing great. We have a wonderful little grandson who's just a direct miracle from mm-hmm. the Lord. Mm-hmm. Just the happiest guy that we've ever seen in our life. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. It's
awesome.
Just keep moving forward.
Can we say thank you to these folks for doing that? Thank you, guys. Leave them right on the chair. Seth and Jonah. Come on up. This is Seth and Jonah Woodford. And we'll have you guys sit in the chair. I'm going to give you that one. So when you talk into it, you hold it right like it's